Good evening. It is a pleasure to be with you once again. It is a privilege to be with you, to see your nice shining faces. Everyone's staring at me. Having all these thoughts in your head. Thinking about all kinds of morbid things.
Oh, God.
Go on. All is well. In this age, there are many yanis, sages, spiritual teachers being churned out. They're all over the place. The 1990s is the year of the yani. Someone's always telling me of a new yani in town. This is all good. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with anything. Everyone has their place. Everyone is doing what they're supposed to be doing. As the observer, you should not react to anything. You should just watch, observe, look intelligently at the world, at the universe, see what's happening, and be happy. In any event, there are many schools of Advaita Vedanta that teach that the universe is Maya and illusion. Yet when asked, where does this Maya come from? Why is there Maya? Why is there an illusion? And many teachers say that this is a great mystery. It's a great mystery, they're told. Or they're told, students are told, that this will confuse you and confound you. So it's better not to think about it. Yet you have to know what's going on. A yani is a being that has become all these things, Maya, creation, everything. Therefore, an answer is forthcoming. Confusion, to be confounded, is a good thing. I love to confound you or confuse you. It is like a Zen koan. When you come up with the answer of the Zen koan, Satori or Nirvana ensues. It is the same thing with answers like this that confound you and confuse you in Advaita Vedanta. For what happens is the brain sort of explodes. The mind diminishes. You begin to feel and see things you never felt and saw before. Every question has an answer. There's no such thing as saying it's a mystery or will confuse you or confound you. We have discussed these things before. Creation is Maya, illusion. Yet, who caused the illusion? Where did this Maya come from? Who can tell me?
Inside the individual.
Inside the individual. Mm-hmm. How did it get there?
It isn't real stuff.
It came from nowhere. It's just apparent. It doesn't really exist.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think the illusion is that there seems to be an illusion.
The illusion is an illusion. Maya never existed. It does not exist. This sounds strange to many of us, but it's the truth.
You call that an answer?
Very good. That's fair.
That's the answer you're going to get whether you like it or not. There is no Maya. There is no illusion. It is like you are dreaming and you wake up. What happened to the dream? It never existed. It appears to have existed. But there was no place, no room, no space where it existed. It is like the water in a mirage. It appears real, but it doesn't exist. And again, you question, well, why does it appear to exist? It doesn't. It never did. Nothing exists. Yet we appear to be mortal. We appear to be alive. We appear to be looking at a world of beauty out there. Flowers, the sky, trees. Yet in reality, it's not there. You're not there. Nothing is there. As long as you identify with the body, you can never really know this. For the body-mind phenomena keeps you guessing, evaluating, trying to solve problems. There's no problem to solve because there never was anything wrong or right. Can't you see when you are a student of Advaita Vedanta and you're really sincere about this, you're wasting your time to try to solve problems? I don't care what the problem may be. It is a mistake to try to solve these problems. For when you say you're trying to solve a problem, you believe the problem is true, it's real, it exists. Which means it can only turn into another problem. There's no end to it. It never finishes. This is why I say to drop it. Do not carry it around. Do not think about it. Do not consider it. Do not give it any power. You are the one who gives it the power. For you consider it, you ponder it, you evaluate it, you try to change it, to remove it. As an example, say your feelings have been hurt. Whose feelings? What feelings? You have no feelings. To have feelings, you have to be a human being. Are you a human being? What are you? You're a nothing. An absolute nothing. Yet nothing also doesn't exist. And the question will arise, where did nothing come from? Mm-hmm. nothing didn't come from any place because it never existed. Yet when you use words, you have to say you're nothing. When you think about this, you become radiantly happy. You become happy because there are no thoughts, there are no solutions, there are no answers. There's nothing you have to become or do. You just have to stop thinking, stop trying to solve problems, stop trying to soothe your hurt feelings. Drop it. Leave it alone. Do not look for answers. It is the only way to be happy. As soon as you start talking or thinking, happiness eludes you. True happiness is no thing. What is happiness made out of? Most of you believe it's something that turns you on. Makes you happy. But this is not really happiness. This is only a part of the illusion that you believe in, that you believe will make you as radiantly happy, and after a time it will change and you'll become miserable. For nothing in this world or in this universe can bring you perfect happiness. You have to become totally empty. The question always arises, where did the emptiness come from? As long as I think about being empty, again I'm deluded. If you can think about it, it's not the truth. If we can discuss it, it's not the truth. If you think you've got a point or an answer, it's not the truth. There are no answers because there are no questions. People search all over the world for their happiness, for the right teacher, for peace of mind. Yet there's no such thing. There is no peace of mind. There is no happiness. For there's nowhere from which they came. There would have to be a source of happiness or a source of peace. There has to be a source for wisdom. And if there's a source for these things, from where did the source come from? How did the source come into existence? Can't you see now that whatever you think about is wrong? Whatever you see, whatever you say is wrong. You may not agree with me. Good. But what do you agree with? As long as you've got your own story, you're wrong. As long as you've got your own beliefs, your own system, you're wrong. Yet where does the wrong come from? To be wrong, you need a source where the wrong comes from. Therefore, no one is wrong. No one is right. No one is. No one. Silence. Many of us are making tremendous progress in this group. And I'm really proud of you. You're beginning to understand that there's absolutely nothing to say. There's nothing to correct. There's no one to love or to hate. There's absolutely nothing. All is well. When I say all is well, do not try to qualify that statement. If you're only able to accept all is well, for what it's worth, nothing, you would instantly be awakened. But whenever I make the statement to you and I say all is well, immediately your mind starts thinking about this, doesn't it? You're saying, well, if you only knew my problems, if Robert only knew what's going on in my life, I can't find a job. My house burned down. This happened, that happened. I got cancer of the eyeballs. So what? Now I don't mean any disrespect when I say so what. If you're suffering. But the truth is, so what? So what really means it's not this and it's not that. It's not right, it's not wrong. It's not good, it's not bad. Do not look at yourself as a body. Do not look at others as bodies. Do not look at the universe as an entity. Just learn to be spontaneous. Watch. Observe. Look. And do nothing. We have to get to that point. Think how many times your feelings were hurt today. Think how many times you felt sorry for yourself. Think how many times you believed something is wrong somewhere. You watch the news on TV. If you watch the news on TV, you're crazy. You're out of your mind. There's total chaos and confusion going on. Every time I turn the TV on, I just have to laugh. Everybody's taking everything so seriously. They're running around killing one another, fighting for the President of the United States. All these things are going on. They've been going on since the beginning of time. Nothing has changed. And people never learn. I suppose if we live long enough, like 5,000-6,000 years, these things don't bother us any longer because we've seen them before. We've seen them over and over and over again. If you were 5,000 years old, you'd have seen wars, man's inhumanity to man, destruction, chaos, cataclysms, again and again and again and again. And it wouldn't faze you. But because you're born in this century, and you're only seeing a small part of your life, you take these things as serious. You take these things as being real and true. And you react to them. Reacting to them means that you believe in them, that they're real and true for you. Therefore, you've got to change something or fix something or resolve something or get even with someone. Why? What difference does it make? Awaken to reality. Leave everyone alone, especially your own body. Leave it alone. Do what you have to do and leave it alone. There is no confusion. There is nothing. And again, nothing means nothing. You are power of nothing, beyond nothing. What is disturbing you? Many of you would like to change their lives. We still believe if things were different, we'd be much happier. If you had your way, you'd be so much more peaceful, so much happier. This will never happen. you cannot change what you are inside by changing conditions. Everything is right just the way it is. Leave everything alone. Accept life by becoming radiantly peaceful and happy just the way you are. Right now, in spite of so-called conditioning, some of you believe you're lonely. Some of you believe you're poverty-stricken. Some of you believe that you are in ill health. Some of you believe that you are very healthy. Some of you believe that you're very secure. You have plenty of funds. They're all imposters. It's all a game that you're playing with yourself. It never came from anywhere. It didn't exist. But yet you identify with your body to such an extent that everything looks real. You therefore believe if you had this instead of that, you'd be very happy. But that's not the case. The people who have what you want are also worrying and fretting. And there's their own so-called problems in their life. You can only become happy and peaceful when you have no desires. Accept everything the way it is. Just the way it is. The good and the bad, so-called, the right and the wrong. Just accept everything. Do not evaluate it. Do not judge it. Do not try to change it. Just be. You're going to have to wake up one day. Why not do it right now? The only reason you believe it's hard is because you're not living spontaneously. You're living in time and space. When you live spontaneously, there's no room for anything else. Therefore, all of your yesterdays are gone. Your tomorrows do not exist. There's no room in spontaneity to worry or to fret or to think. If you're truly living spontaneously, it means you're living in every second. When you live in every second, where's the time to think? Where's the time to judge? Where's the time to get angry? To try to convert somebody or convince somebody of anything. There's no place and there's no time to do all that. But when you live in time, then all the thoughts come to you about yesterday. Worries come to you about tomorrow. And you have to make decisions. You have likes and dislikes. All these things take place in time and space. Again, when you live spontaneously, time and space do not exist for you. For you are living fully every second. Every second you exist. You do not exist as anything special. You do not exist as a man or a woman. You simply exist. And in that spontaneity, you are the universe. But as soon as you break away from it, you become an individual once more. You become a body and a mind. And you see others as bodies and minds. But when you're living in that spontaneity, there's no space, there's no room for anything. You have become absolute freedom. That freedom is not for yourself. For if you know freedom, then it's not freedom. There's no one left to know anything when you're living spontaneous. The knower has been transcended. What more is there to say? Anything else that I say will become redundant. If you'd like to ask questions, go ahead. See if I can.
According to what you are saying, life doesn't have any purpose in itself.
Yes. As long as don't ask me a question like Bob Salmon, where does the seminal fluid go?
Where does that go?
The seminal fluid.
Oh.
This, and if I think about it, the less important it seems. There is no answer, really, but what the question I've thought from time to time, why did Krishnamurti spend so much time with intellectuals when almost everything he said is very difficult to understand through the finite mind? In fact, I have a tape of a talk by him in which he says, do not accept what the speaker is saying. The speaker has no authority whatsoever. He is not a teacher. He is not a guru. And for if he is a teacher, then you are the follower. And if you are the follower, you destroy yourself and the teacher. Now that what the meaning of that doesn't spring readily to mind. But he did spend a lot of time with intellectuals. And what I decided at this point is that it's just one of those things that for the finite mind, there's no way to understand it. And I know, I can think of other things that the masters have done that don't seem to make sense, which would be the case with his spending a lot of time with intellectuals. Now, I don't know whether you want to comment or not. I don't believe it calls for any comment, but it seems to have some.
Why try to figure out what Krishnamurti is in?
Sir?
Why try to understand what Krishnamurti is?
Because that's what I'm saying. There's no use. The whole thing is... there's no point in really talking.
All those things clog up your mind.
It's a waste of time even to discuss it.
Drop it.
Okay. I'll drop it. Try, anyway. Yeah, I drop it, because even before I ask the question, I said, kind of waste of time. Which you covered earlier.
There have been so many teachers on this earth, and there still are many, many teachers on this earth. Do not try to figure out who's what and what's who. Just be the observer. Do not get involved. Listen and do nothing. As I said before, if you live spontaneously, there will be no time to think about these things.
Don't worry. He'll be back. Just don't worry.
Another question.
He didn't disappear.
You gotta listen.
He's dissolved.
Not for long.
Oh, what the hell? Oh, boy.
What you were saying before was about the awakening without the conditions, without being conditioned. Forget your conditions, just awaken. Go beyond it, right? So,
if you're conditioned, you cannot awaken. You have to be unconditioned to awaken.
Well, that seems kind of paradox.
No. As long as you're filled with thoughts and feelings and emotions and opinions, this keeps you from awakening.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
You have to just drop everything.
Well, that's the problem, right? That's the hard part. That's the part I don't see.
If you try to live in the moment, in the split second of eternity, there will be no time and no space to think about anything or to be anywhere.
Yeah, I see that.
So stay centered. And whenever your mind starts to think, grab it, choke it, kill it. Stop it. Most of us, when we begin to think, we forget about all the teachings, we forget about everything, and the thoughts take over completely. And it leads to other thoughts and other thoughts. What we're supposed to do is to grab the thoughts when they begin and put a stop to them. Thoughts are like weeds. If you do not stop them, they'll go over everything. They'll take over everything. As soon as you feel the thoughts coming on, whether they're good or bad or indifferent, stop the thoughts any way you can. Just by thinking about stopping the thoughts, the thoughts stop.
sir. That kind of a breakthrough. Last Christmas, when you told us to give $10 to a needy person, made me uncomfortable. I've never been comfortable around beggars or so-called homeless or these vagrants, people lying in the street. They've always made me uncomfortable. But recently, I found out something seems to work. And Tara, what she does, she figures out how much she wants to give each day. And I read recently that in an authoritative book that we should give to the needy and give to the deserving and to the undeserving, because there's no way to tell the difference. But one so I decided that I'd do that, and I figure out each day how much I want to give, and I give to the first person who asks me, or to someone that looks like they could use a little bill, and it's been a help, because those people don't bug me like they used to, and it's really been great. In fact, yesterday I gave a dollar to a filthy black, and he smiled and said, thank you. And it made me feel good. And the main thing is that whole situation doesn't bug me like it did. I don't even know why I tell this. I like to share this kind of stuff.
It's good stuff.
Sir?
Good stuff. Glad you did.
It's nice, because up to now, those people made me very uncomfortable, and there's a hell of a lot of them coming.
If you have to think about it, there's ego involved. Again, you must be spontaneous. If you see a homeless person comes into your life, you want to do something or you don't. But the next step to think about it.
Well, I used to think about it, now I've decided, I'll just give him a little something to forget.
If you think about it, it means you're trying to be a good person. To chalk up some points for God or something like that. Than just getting yourself. Always be spontaneous in everything you do.
That's an order. Actually, I don't think I'm trying to be a good person. I'm just trying to get rid of this negative attitude towards that. And it's worked up there.
But there are too many thoughts involved.
Okay, I'll try to stop them. Drop them. No thoughts of any kind
go. No thoughts of any kind.
the spontaneity eliminates there being anyone who is doing something.
Yes.
So it's free and natural.
Sure. Exactly. Yeah. When you think about it, then the ego is on.
Yeah, then you're back in the soup.
You're trying to do a good deed.
Yeah.
You could even, maybe Fred was what he was saying, was he's happy because he's more comfortable, trying to get comfortable.
Well, who's getting comfortable? That's the ego again.
Right. Good deeds or comfort at all.
Yeah. It's not spontaneous.
What is the use for the mind?
No use at all. Totally useless. The mind is really a conglomeration of thoughts. The mind is made up of thoughts. Thoughts of your past and worries about the future.
So what you're saying, we put a whole new slant on, if you don't use it, you lose it, right?
Exactly. You want to lose it. But most people think if they don't think, if they don't have a mind, they'll be a vegetable. On the contrary, you will be yourself.
So getting comfortable or not getting comfortable, it's just thoughts again. More thoughts.
Yes. It's all thoughts.
I guess there really should be no motivation.
No. Exactly. The ego is motivated. And the ego goes through all of these things.
I guess there's a fear that if I act spontaneously without a chance to censor a bad act, then I'm living dangerously because I may commit acts that others will have their feelings hurt, or I may be
exert your powers.
It is George who thinks that you might have feelings hurt, that this may happen, that may happen. Those thoughts have to go. If you are spontaneous, then something beautiful will happen by itself. Where there are no thoughts involved whatsoever.
From your experience, do actions that come from motivation, do they tend to be sensitive to the feelings of others? They seem to be willy-nilly, sometimes sensitive and sometimes insensitive.
It depends on the condition, what's happening. Sometimes they're sensitive, sometimes they're not, but it's all spontaneous.
Sometimes they're legal acts, sometimes they're illegal acts.
No, I wouldn't say that. There are no acts.
Right. It's happening.
It's just plain existence.
The policeman observing makes an act.
Well, let the policeman figure out what to do with it.
Well, then maybe it will be behind bars, living spontaneously.
Oh boy, that's a
reality. I give up.
If you find yourself behind bars, you're not living spontaneously. You think you are.
I think you have to be willing to be behind bars in an insane asylum. You have to be willing to let anything happen. Whatever happens, happen. You have to be willing to lose all your money, your wife leaves you, anything, in order to live spontaneously.
When you live spontaneously, when it's supposed to happen will happen. All those things you're saying are true to an extent, but will not necessarily work that way. Whatever is supposed to take place by itself. Everything will happen the way it's supposed to.
And I guess thinking prevents what's supposed to take place.
Exactly.
And it must... It kind of follows up your destination.
Predestination is working on the level of the relative world. In the relative world, the relative universe is predestination. But when you go beyond the relative, there's no predestination. Therefore, if you go beyond the relative, there are no mistakes. You no longer live in a world where you do good or bad, right or wrong. You go to jail or you don't go to jail.
How to the judge, Robert?
What's that?
How to the judge?
When the time comes, I will.
So the same applies for education then, going to acupuncture school, things like that.
Accumulating
all this knowledge and information is a useless endeavor.
It's a useless endeavor in the long run. But while you're living in this world, everything you do seems important.
Then there's a, then there must be an application of practical thought, a use of the practical thought.
It's not practical thought really, it's Maya. It's the grand illusion that moves you, that makes you believe you're using practical thought, that makes you believe what you're doing is important. This is all the Maya.
No, I'm not referring to a person's self getting hurt, feeling of self harm, but I'm talking about, for instance, if I have to go out and repair the car, if I start the car and it doesn't start, if I have used correct memory, memory is a tool to function in society. If I use memory correctly and I go out and I lift the hood and I check the battery cables and I make sure they're connected, I maybe clean the pulse, whatever little bit of knowledge I know about. And that's practical knowledge.
If you're living spontaneously, you will do the same thing, but without being caught up in the act of doing.
Well, Robert, if you didn't have any thoughts, you wouldn't have an idea about how to fix it. That comes from memory, from experience. If you have no memory, you can't know if you'll pick up a cup of tea or you'll eat some food.
You have what is called memory.
Pardon?
You have what is called memory and spontaneity. In spontaneity, you know what to do. You're doing something in a second of a moment. You're doing what you have to do. What has to be done will be done. But you will not be the doer.
I understand. But when I said about practical thought, there's just practical thought. There's no person in it. It's just functioning. It's like, I don't need a king. You don't get a sense of self without it, but you have to fix the battery. You just fix the battery.
Yes. I guess it's what you call practical thought. To have practical thought has to be a thinker who has practical thought. It's just a name. What you're saying is true. But it's just the terms you're using that I sort of disagree with. Because to have practical thought has to be a person who thinks practically in the moment. Yet when the mind is gone, there's just spontaneity that takes place without practical thought. That you call practical thought and I call nothing is the same thing, I suppose.
The thought and language are the same thing, and if you didn't have that kind of tool to communicate with verbally, there would be no communication.
Communication will take place as long as you're living in the relative world. All these things will happen by themselves.
What I'm saying is, if you didn't have a language structure, so there has to be, thought is a tool that's used, even if the mind is silent, even if that's so, it's still a tool that's used by something else to communicate.
True, it's not thought. It is consciousness.
Okay.
Consciousness is always in effect, always working, always doing something. Yet you can go beyond consciousness and still fix your car and do whatever has to be done. Everything will be done without taking thought.
But I'm not saying about taking thought, I'm just saying that it's a useful tool in functioning in the world. We originally started this because of the mention about acupuncture or any other school that you study. Those are tools to function with in the world.
Whatever you're doing is necessary at the time. So if you're going to acupuncture school, this is what you're doing, but this is on the relative plane. All this is taking place in the relative world. When you are beyond thought, beyond words, it will still take place, but it will be completely different.
We take the case of a child prodigy, a 9 years old, playing the piano beautifully. The child is not playing the piano is being played.
The piano is being played, yes. True. That's a good point.
I had an experience with a patient. I learned something from a patient that you can't have any fear unless you identify with the body. Now, we were driving along, my wife was driving, and there was this pigeon, and pigeon thinks they own the road, and they never get out of the way unless they frighten you, and at the last moment they flutter away. But this one didn't, and we didn't hit, we were that far away, and I looked back and I saw the pigeon was still lying in the road. I thought maybe I'd better go and pick it up and put it there. So my wife turned around. As we were getting near, I suddenly got frightened. You know, and I got my wife to do it, and I couldn't understand why I was frightened. I was really afraid of picking up the pigeon.
Mm.
Yeah, and for a day, I didn't understand. Then I began to understand something would happen. If I see somebody being stabbed, that won't frighten me at all. Unless I start to think, well, maybe I'm next. Unless I identify with the body, I can't be frightened. I can't be frightened if this guy gets stabbed or if you get stabbed, unless I was identified with the body, anything can happen to this body. Yeah. So somehow, I don't know how, I must have had the thought that maybe the pigeon's half dead and some of the death would come into this body. This patient was really scared. And I had the only good intention at first just to pick up the pigeon. But I realized that if I'm not identified with the body, how can I be afraid? Not possible. What I'm afraid is proof that I'm identified with this body. That I'm the body that can get hurt, because if the body gets hurt and I'm not identified with it, what it's going to do with me, even if this body gets hurt.
All is well. Do we have any announcements? We're having the Bandara on the 26th, Sunday. Somebody should coordinate that. We need a coordinator. Are the coordinators around?
Robert, is it possible for us just to have a sign-up sheet, or could we just bring whatever? I mean, would you be comfortable with that? I think people bring whatever they want to anymore.
You can bring whatever you want to, but unless we coordinate it, people may bring the same things.
What if we have a sign-up sheet? Would that be better?
Sure. Why don't you take charge of that?
Usually I don't come with them.
Role plays by ear. Whatever happens, happens.
What we've done a few times, Robert, is the coordinators have just asked that we all bring a main dish, and it seems to resolve itself. And then anyone who wants to perhaps add some juice or something, maybe one person could bring paper plates and cups. I'll do that if you like. I'll bring the utensils. But I think it is oddly worked out that if we say everyone bring a main course, it just flows.
Okay. I'll go along with that.
It's 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock. We have to slide.